It is most likely that we only have two native lagomorphs, or members of the order Lagomorpha, in Wisconsin. The snowshoe hare and the eastern cottontail rabbit. The cottontail rabbit is common across the entire state. It prefers areas that have shelter and close proximity to open spaces where it can feed on succulent green plants. Cottontails do not change color, keeping basically a brown pelt year-round. They start breeding in late winter or early spring and have two or three litters of young. Through the snow-free season, each litter having three or four leverets, what we call baby bunnies. The young are hairless and blind, lying in a nest that's nothing more than a shallow depression in the grass for about 2 weeks. After that time, they're covered with hair, their eyes are open, and they are able to move about. In the winter, there are no succulent green plants available for food, and the rabbits switch to chewing on the bark or soft twigs of any trees or shrubs they can find. Their movements are usually restricted to early morning and early evening. They are vulnerable and delicious, readily preyed upon by owls, fox, coyote, weasels, and other predators. As such, they will seek out areas of thick overhead cover. Snowshoe hares are far larger than cottontails, growing up to 20 inches long and weighing 3 to 4 pounds. Supposedly, it's been referred to as the varying hare for its color variations, from a brownish color in the summer to bright white in the winter. The word snowshoe in its name refers to the conspicuously large hind foot, which spreads wide at the toes. These large hairy feet help the hare stay on top of the snow and move about easily to feed and to evade predators. Snowshoes live in areas of mixed forest, preferring some kind of evergreen component like balsam or hemlock. They feed on twigs and bark and are highly reliant on hiding under overhead cover to avoid predators. Consequently, their best habitat will have deadfalls, thick brush, or some other tangled ground cover to hide them. Snowshoes also have 3 to 4 litters of 3 to 4 leverets a season, but their young are precocious, meaning they are born with eyes open, covered with fur, and are able to hop and walk within about 24 hours of birth. So, why do they start out saying it is most likely that we have two lagomorphs here in Wisconsin? Well, at one time, Wisconsin was home to a population of somewhere around 50,000 to 75,000 white-tailed jackrabbits. There seems to be some debate about whether the jackrabbit was originally native to the state, whether it moved in on its own from the western prairies, and the degree to which supplemental stocking occurred. In 1947, Aldo Leopold wrote, "The present jackrabbit population originated in part from plantings, but the bulk of it probably represents natural spread from the west." A brief investigation on my part yielded no information about stocking jackrabbits up here in Oneida or Vilas counties, but it does appear there were some animals released in Marathon County in 1935, Lincoln County in 1941, and Oconto County in 1953. The jackrabbit range covered the bottom three quarters of the state in 1944. I cannot speak to whether there are any appreciable jackrabbit populations in the state today. Our state's wildlife managers would have to supply the records. However, it's never occurred to me that we had that many individuals almost 100 years ago. Perhaps they responded well to the great cutover and ensuing fires that occurred during that time. Jackrabbits have brown pelts in the summer and white pelts in the winter, much like snowshoe hares. Is it possible that some jackrabbits have been misidentified or mistaken for snowshoe hares? If the only visible difference from a distance is relative size, it certainly seems possible. And if we have truly lost a jackrabbit in Wisconsin, how did such a common creature disappear so quickly? Alas, as is often the case, I may have supplied more questions than answers, but when a highly reproductive animal sees rapid decline, we can usually point to overharvest, disease, or lack of quality habitat, which has ties to starvation, predation, loss of recruitment, and other factors. Any combination of these factors could have dropped jackrabbit numbers below sustainable levels. Striving to make new things familiar and familiar things new, this is the Masked Biologist coming to you from the heart of Wisconsin's Great North Woods.